是是。
Open your word to our understanding that we may know what pleases you. And we desire to hear what you want to say to us. And I know that was Phil's desire as well. So thank you for this time of hearing your word together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay. All right. This is going to be a lot of verses, you guys, so I'll go slow, and if you don't hear the verse that I say, I'll repeat it, or you guys could break in and ask me. Okay, I will. So blindness occurs all throughout the Bible. We see several different types of blindness displayed in many texts and scriptures. The blindness I'm referring to is a noun, and the definition is people who are unable to see, and number two, an obstruction to sight or light in particular. As we all can get carried away with pointing out everyone's blindness, I want to focus on spiritual blindness, but more importantly, the sight our Father gave us when we accepted Him into our lives and received the Holy Spirit. And John 14:15-20, John 14:15-20. If you love me, you will obey me, obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. And then 1 Corinthians 2, 14-16. 1 Corinthians 2, 14-16. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment, for who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. On Mondays, the youth Bible study that Greg teaches is going through the book of Acts. We read each chapter and then go through the verses so everyone can understand what's going on. We came across a man named Simon that practiced sorcery. Philip had been led to preach the word of God to the Samaritans, and they were all accepting Jesus into their lives and being baptized. This dude Simon did also. He was amazed at everything Philip did through the Holy Spirit. And if everyone wants to turn to Acts 8, 9-24, we could read along. Acts 8, 9-24. Now for some time a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great, and all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, "This man is the divine power known as the Great Power." They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his magic. But when they believed Philip as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. When the apostles in Jerusalem had heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. When they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. They had simply been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, "Give me also this ability so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." Peter answered, "May your money perish with you because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps He will forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin." Then Simon answered, "Pray to the Lord for me so that nothing you have said may happen to me." Simon, with his earthly mind, thought that he could buy his way to God. Isn't that typical with someone who is self-absorbed without guidance from the Holy Spirit? We are lost. Acts 2:38 shows us that when we repent and we are baptized, we receive the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:38, Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So anyone without the Spirit is not a follower of Christ." So everyone without the Holy Spirit is blind. Without the Holy Spirit, we cannot get past our own earthly desires brought about by the spirit of the world. It is the spirit of self-gratification, essentially making us gods in our own minds. 1 Corinthians 1:18-19. 1 Corinthians 1:18-19. "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, 'I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate.'" God seeks after us. It is not a matter of our own will. Our choice is to accept Him when He reveals Himself to us. We always hear the term, "I found Jesus." But as we read in John, we see that it is not the circumstance, and that God seeks us out and lifts the veil from our eyes. John chapter 9. You can read along. It's kind of long. "As he went along, he saw a blind man from birth. His disciples asked him, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?' 'Neither this man nor his parents sinned,' said Jesus, 'but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world.' Having said this, he spit on the ground and made some mud with the saliva and put it on the man's eyes. 'Go,' he told him, 'wash in the pool of Shiloh. This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, 'Isn't this the same man that used to sit and beg?' Some claimed that he was. Others said, 'No, he only looks like him.' But he himself insisted, 'I am the man.' 'How then were your eyes open?' they demanded. He replied, 'The man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Shiloh and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see.' 'Where is this man?' they asked him. 'I don't know,' he said. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received the sight. 'He put mud on my eyes,' the man replied, 'and I washed, and now I see.' Some of the Pharisees said, 'This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath.' But others said, 'How can a sinner do such miraculous signs?' So they were divided. Finally, they turned again to the blind man. 'What have you to say about him?' 'It was your eyes he opened.' The man replied, 'He is a prophet.' The Jews still did not believe that he had been blind and had received sight until they sent for the man's parents. 'Is this your son?' they asked. Is this the one they say was born blind? How is that now he can see? We know he is our son, the parents answered, and we know he was born blind. But how can he see now, or who opened his eyes? We don't know. Ask him, he is of age, he will speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for already the Jews had decided that anyone who acknowledged Jesus was the Christ would be put out of the synagogue. That is why his parents said, he is of age, ask him. A second time they summoned the man who had been blind. Give glory to God, they said. We know this man is a sinner. He replied, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. Then they asked him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered, I told you already, and you didn't listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciple too? Then they hurled insults at him and said, you are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from. The man answered, now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly man who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. To this they replied, you were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? And they threw him out. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir? The man asked. Tell me so I may believe in him. Jesus said, you have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you. The man said, Lord, I believe, and he worshipped him. Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who will see will become blind. Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, what, are we blind too? Jesus said, if you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin, but now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains. When Jesus had revealed the truth to the Pharisees, he had also revealed the fact of their spiritual blindness to them also. Now the man who was actually blind was sought out by Jesus two times. The first time, Jesus healed his actual blindness. The second time, he healed his spiritual blindness, letting the man see who Jesus actually was. This was all done by Jesus and not the man himself. The only thing the man had to do was put his faith in our Lord. Luke 19:10. Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost. We're living in an age of self-gratification, where spiritually blind people are everywhere, even more so than when I was a child. Every sin committed is not black and white anymore. We as followers of Christ, being in the light, for God is light, should stand firm in what we believe in, even if it involves fellow Christians who claim to be walking in the light. Jude 1:18-19. They said to you, Jude 1:18-19. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who follow their own ungodly desires. These are men who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But then he goes on to say in verse 20 and 23, but you, dear friends, build yourself up in the most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourself in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt, snatch others from the fire and save them. Do others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh? Our spiritual sight reveals all of this to us. The Holy Spirit gives us courage to discern and act upon His will. It is not a spirit of fear. That portion of the verse in Jude that said, show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the corrupted, or even the clothes stained by corrupted flesh, is a spiritual sight we have received. The Spirit is prompting us not to succumb to temptation, not to indulge of the things of the world. But when we are, we should think about this verse. Philippians 4:6-7. Philippians 4:6-7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I often ponder about different religions claiming to know the truth about God, whether it's Muslims, Jews, Hindus, or Buddhists, Jehovah's Witnesses, or Mormons. They all claim to know God, and there are millions of them. 1 Corinthians 1, 20 through 24. 1 Corinthians 1, 20 through 24. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miracles and signs, and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Bottom line, God's wisdom is not with them. We are his vessels of light that create a stumbling block for these individuals who are utterly blind towards God. What do they even get by believing in their gods? Nothing. So what do you think is the appeal? 2 Corinthians 4, 3 through 4. 3 and 4. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. If the good news we preach is hidden behind a veil, it is hidden only from people who are perishing. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. And 2 Corinthians 11:14. 2 Corinthians 11:14. But I am not surprised. Even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So when you add spiritual blindness and the blindness of religion, then there's almost a double blindness that is hard to penetrate. Only God can allow this to happen. His Holy Spirit gives us that opportunity to penetrate that darkness, thus glorifying him. As we see throughout the Bible, God allows blindness to occur, and he is the author of sight. Daniel interpreted a dream that King Nebuchadnezzar had. He basically told the king that his dream meant that he had to repent from his sins and do what is right and be kind to the oppressed. If he didn't do them, he would lose his kingdom. Daniel 4, 28 through 37. Daniel 4, 28 through 37. Daniel 4, 28 through 37. All this happened to King Nebuchadnezzar. 12 months later, as the king was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon, he said, "Is this not the great Babylon I have built as the royal residence by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty?" The words were still on his lips when a voice came from heaven. "This is what is decreed for you, King Nebuchadnezzar. Your royal authority has been taken from you. You will be driven away from the people, and you will live in the wild, or with the wild animals. You will eat grass like cattle. 7 times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes." Immediately, what had been said about Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. He was driven away from people and ate grass like cattle. His body was drenched with the dew of heaven until his hair grew like feathers of an eagle and his nails like claws of a bird. At the end of that time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes towards heaven and my sanity was restored. Then I praised the Most High, honored and glorified him who lives forever. His dominion is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the people of the earth. No one can hold back his hand or say to him, "What have you done?" At the same time that my sanity was restored, my honor and splendor were returned to me for the glory of my kingdom. My advisors and my nobles sought me out, and I was restored to my throne and became even greater than before. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of heaven, because everything he does is right, and all his ways are just, and those who walk in pride he is able to humble. So, King Nebuchadnezzar had finally renounced his sin, acknowledging God as the one true God. This deprivation of his mind was allowed by God, but also was also restored by God when he gave himself up and raised his eyes towards heaven. Accepting Jesus as our Savior and confessing our sins frees our minds of depravity and allows the Holy Spirit to initiate our sight. We see this with Paul also. When he was Saul, he thought that in his mind that he was doing the right thing before God. Acts 9:1-19. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. And he wrote the whole New Testament. Almost all of it. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called him to a vision. "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. For he is praying in a vision he had seen. A man named Ananias come and place his hands on and restore, or hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go, this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings, before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. And we all know what Paul did from there. Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith. Being the author of our faith shows me what my Lord is capable of. He heals the blind, makes the lame to walk, and saved me. If he does all this, and all these are all characteristics of what he does, I encourage all of us to do the same. With the guidance of the Holy Spirit. He is the same person as he was 2000. Sorry, guys. He is the same person as he was 2,000 years ago, and he encourages us by saying in John 14:23-27. Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave you, and peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." We have an amazing teacher, and he never leaves us. The spiritual sight that our Lord Jesus left us with makes our path straight, and he helps others, and helps others with their struggles also. The Holy Spirit gives us peace when no other human being or things of this world can. Our ability to discern straight paths gives light to others in this otherwise dark world. We see how excited Jesus gets when he tells his disciples about the Counselor that he talks about. In John 16:5-15. "Now, I am going to him who sent me, yet none of you ask me, 'Where are you going?' Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you." And that's the Spirit living inside each and every one who accepts him. And to conclude, everyone could turn to Psalm 32. "Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit. While I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me, my strength was sapped, as in the heat of the summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, 'I will confess my transgressions to the Lord,' and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you while you may be found. Surely, when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. Do not be like the horse or mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man who trusts in him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart."